today's Ezra Evan Sider and my co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. As far as our Locked On Suns Twitter page, join our at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support over there is very much appreciated, as always. And as usual, we're joining you guys live from Talking Stick Resort Arena, as we do for every single home game this year on Locked On Suns. And Brendan, unfortunately for the Suns tonight, they lost 123-115 to the Los Angeles Lakers. They're now 6-4 in the season. But I feel like this kind of game was another litmus test to show if this Suns team was real or not. I feel like this team is proving time and time again that this is a legitimately competitive team.
Yeah, they had every opportunity in this one to win the game, to be honest. A game that felt a lot like many of the other ones this year. And they were able to, despite obviously giving up 123, it doesn't necessarily seem like a game where their defense was effective, but I think generally the way that you can see that their defense worked, I think, is that the Lakers were uncomfortable. You didn't see a game where LeBron AD pick and roll or some of the simple ways that those two superstars can punish you. That didn't happen. It was a little bit rockier for Los Angeles. I mean, LeBron only scored 19, Davis only 24. I mean, good numbers, but we've seen those guys go off for way more this year. So I think 123 is tough, but overall, like, the defense was effective, and it was another game where they were able to stay in it because of it.
Yeah, the defensive effort was certainly impressive, too, and also the scoring as well. Just the efficiency again, Brendan. We were so close to 50-40-90 for the Suns again, but unfortunately that didn't happen this time, 47-42-77, but this offense and this defense, we can kick off here with our usual, as the listeners know, our usual recap segments, which is going to start with our free throws and go to our flagrant fouls and our stat to watch. So I'll throw it your way first, Ben. What is your first free throw?
It's just the three-point shooting in general. To pick up where you left off talking about the efficiency, it's 16 of 38 from deep, and that's, I think, if you're looking at how the Suns stayed in and nearly won this game, it's the defense, but it's also the three-point shooting. Not everybody chipped in. It wasn't quite the barrage that we've seen on some nights where everybody's getting them up, but Dario Saric, Aaron Baines, each made four. Rubio, surprisingly, he started 2 of 2, ended 3 of 6, so started a little better than he finished. But and then Cam Johnson picked it up in that fourth quarter, made a couple, and got 8 up, which is really nice to see, especially that he's taking 8 of those in extended minutes. That's the kind of volume you want to see from him if he's on the court, and he responded. So those are the two ways I think this team, you know, ball movement's obviously a big key for them too, but they added shooting and they added smarter players who are going to compete on defense, and both of those boxes were checked tonight.
Yeah, before I go to my first free throw for a second, I just wanted to ask you about the three-point shooting, because like you noted, Dario 4 of 6, Baines 4 of 6, Cam Johnson 3 of 8, Rubio 3 of 6, Kaminsky as well, Frank Kaminsky 2 of 3. All these new additions were all, of course, if you take out Rubio and really Baines, I don't think anyone expected this kind of shooting from him this year. All these shooters that this team added this year, it's really paying off so far.
It feels so simple to think, like, you add shooting and your team's going to be more competitive, but as simple as that can sound, I think it really has been important for them on a nightly basis that, because I think, like, they've had good shooters in the past, but it's the way that the shooting works within the construct of the team. You know, I think you can't talk about the shooting without talking about Rubio being able to set the table, without talking about Baines setting the screens, without talking about guys who are comfortable handling the ball in transition. All that stuff makes the threes that much more damaging to the other team because they're getting good ones. It's not Troy Daniels chucking them in a meaningless kind of moment, or Booker chucking from 30 feet off the bounce. It's real threes within the rhythm of the game, and we saw that tonight.
I'm going to start with my first free throw here, and it's going to be a surprise to some out there because I know he wasn't the star of the game, so to say, but I think this is a game that was definitely needed for this rotation, and Frank Kaminsky bounced back in a big way today after not making a 3 for 2 weeks burn. The last make was against the Utah Jazz in late October. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 of 3 from 3, 7 of 10 overall from the field in 23 minutes. A game where we're going to get to Kelly Oubre, I imagine, next summit, but overall you see Mikal doesn't do anything offensively. Kelly doesn't show up at all. Frank was desperately needed tonight with his scoring. With those two guys not doing anything, he definitely provided that.
He did, and especially in the first half, I think, especially in the second quarter, which is when he made his first three and cooled himself off. The guy didn't make a 3 for 2 weeks. He makes his first one, and he's acting like he's been doing it all year. So, I mean, the confidence is good, and I think it's nice to see that he kind of had that swagger that it didn't I just think, like, it's one of those, this team's so focused on not being too high, not being too low, so they did really badly need this from him, but I think just at an individual level, it's probably going to even mean more than that in just the way that it can give him that confidence, because we saw how much it was affecting him of passing up the shots, and I think he still did some of that today. I think only taking three threes, you probably want that even to be higher, but still, it's a stepping stone, I think, for him, but my second free throw here, it's Ricky Rubio, another 2010 game for him, and not only 2010, but another game with just an insane assist to turnover ratio, 10-1. That it's a video game. I mean, it's not like we'd say that when guys score a bunch of points, but this is like, it just doesn't feel like it should be possible for somebody to be so efficient as a playmaker and lead an offense with these types of players when, you know, Uber is not playing well, and this roster is not the kind of team you would think would score 115 points and nearly shoot 50% from the field, and a lot of it comes back to Rubio for me.
Yeah, Rubio certainly is the maestro of this offense, and he seems like he's found a perfect fit with Monty Williams in his offense. If you want to make a video game numbers, Brian, his last two games combined, 22 assists to one turnover, if you want to add that in too, which is just crazy, and it goes to show just the way Rubio is playing right now. Definitely looks like Minnesota version Rubio. I saw some national writers talk about Rubio tonight. Just the amount of confidence that he's playing with right now, it seems like that's really notable compared to his Utah years for sure. And it just goes to show you, I think, just how confident he is and what kind of system that Monty Williams built around, how much trust he's shown to Ricky.
Yeah, nearly 4-1 assist to turnover ratio on the season for a guy who has the ball in his hands almost all the time. So it's the key to this team. And obviously, as I mentioned a minute ago, made his first two threes and finished 3 of 6 on the night. He's at 12 of 30 on the year. So I don't know. It's way too early to say it's legit, not legit, whatever. But that part of his game hasn't been at least as big of a weakness as we worried about it might be. So just another stellar game from him. And I think he kept them in this one, too, on offense, even as the defense kind of battled. But what's your second free throw?
Yeah, my second free throw is going to actually be another starter. And it's going to be Dario Saric, who had, I think, his career, not career high, but season high in minutes tonight with 35. 7-11 from the field, 4 of 6 from three, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 18 total points for Dario tonight. I just feel like Dario, like I mentioned with Ricky a few minutes ago, his confidence seems like it's at an all-time high now, at least within Monty's system. And the way that Dario's moving the ball and making these smart plays, not only on offense and defense, it just seems like right now he's kind of fitting in well. And if we're taking just a 10-game sample size between game one to game 10, I would pay this version of Dario.
Yeah, he looked really good today. I'm glad you mentioned it as your second one, because he deserves to be recognized tonight. Only one offensive rebound. I was going to compliment him. I just feel like he got his hands on a lot of those misses. Maybe only one offensive rebound went to him, 6 as a team. I wouldn't be surprised if he batted a couple to teammates there. So nice to see him chip in on the glass. And I just think, like, he executes the game plan defensively. It feels stereotypical to say it about a white European player of knowing where to be, like, you know, sneaky athleticism, smart player.
It's true with Dario, though.
It's true with him, and I think that's the reason why in a lot of nights you see him getting minutes over somebody like Mikal Bridges, somebody like Kelly Oubre, that we maybe want to see in those moments more. It's not hard to see why Monty Williams trusts him. They operate in it's not a complicated defense, but it requires a lot of the players, and he executes it, I think, better than almost anyone.
Let me ask you before we go into our next segment, the first 10 games of Dario as a starting power forward, what's your assessment of him so far?
Very hot and cold, I think, just in general. I think he's a guy, he's not afraid to shoot, not afraid to be out on the court, but I think you do see, I think him and Frank have that in common where you do see the confidence kind of wax and wane a little bit. But how about you? I mean, you seem maybe a little more optimistic about him than me.
Yeah, I think just his roar, and I like the way he's being used. And like I mentioned at the top, I think at this version of Dario, I would pay, like, around, we were talking about, I think it was a month or two ago, about what we paid Dario, probably $10-11 million per year.
He looks like a starter.
He does. He certainly looks like an NBA power forward. And the way he's moving the ball, like I mentioned, just it seems like everyone's buying the Monty Williams in the system. I give a thumbs up to Monty Williams every night if I could, but I just think the way that everyone's playing right now just goes to show you just how bought in this team is to the system.
Yeah, he's the constant free throw, Monty Williams. It goes without saying, we don't have to address it every night, but it's clearly him.
Yeah, absolutely. If we had a bonus one, it would be Monty almost every single night with the way they're playing so far. But let's go into our next segment here, which is our flagrant fouls. Before we do, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor of today's show, which is Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial and choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Again, that is audible.com/lockedonNBA. LOCKEDONNBA. All right, Brian, let's start off with our flagrant fouls. I think we're both in agreement once again with our flagrant foul. Kelly Oubre played 19 minutes tonight, 0-5 overall, 0-4 from 3, 1-2 from the free throw line, 3 fouls, 2 turnovers, 1 total point. The worst game I think Kelly Oubre's ever played as a Sun, and I think it kind of showed in the fourth quarter and second half as well that he didn't play the last 17 minutes of regulation in this one, as Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson saw more minutes than Kelly at the end.
Yeah, on a night where Šarić, who we just talked about in that last segment, scored a season high in points, made a season high in threes, Kelly was right there to get season lows in just about everything, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was his season low in minutes played.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't think of a night where he played less than 19, so just a very bad night for him. And we were talking about it before he got benched or whatever you want to call it, got taken out of the game, that it looked like he had a hollow look in his eyes, and he was just not ready for this one. And LeBron will do that to people, I guess. I mean, I'll never know how it is to look LeBron in the eyes and say, all right, we're playing against each other tonight. But it didn't work for him. And one of the weird streaks, the Suns have it in their game notes tonight. They could talk about it on the broadcast all the time. He had 22 games in a row with 10 or more points since last February. That ended tonight, too, without making a shot here with just that one point. So, I don't think there's really anyone else. To me, it is Kelly. Does this worry you? Because I asked Monty before the game if they were going to try to approach LeBron the same way they approached Ben Simmons and maybe trying Baines on him, maybe doing that very swarming help defense. And he was like, well, LeBron will shoot from the perimeter. LeBron poses different types of problems because he's confident from out there. And so we saw them go with Kelly, where they didn't really do that against Ben Simmons. Does it worry you that Kelly's kind of their best option against these guys? And at least for one night, he really didn't show up.
Yeah, it is worrisome. And just as far as game planning, I don't know what this team does moving forward as far as, like, when you're going into a superstar wing, how you're going to guard him. Because Kelly so far is 0 for 2 in that. He had his moments for sure. He had a moment against LeBron tonight where he had a steal, I believe, or at least attempted a steal and got some hands on it. But I think we've seen on our Jimmy Butler and now LeBron James that Kelly's, I don't think he's meant to guard these bigger, thicker kind of jumbo wings. And they have to find out who can do that on this team, and it's not him. I don't know if it's going to be Aaron Baines, because, I mean, that takes a lot away from the paint if you're going to have him on that. And those two guys outside Ben Simmons, they can shoot the ball. So that's another thing.
No, they don't. I mean, it's good to point to Jimmy, too, who just eviscerated them in the first half of that game. And it is somewhat similar to LeBron in just that the size. That as much as this team has athleticism and length on the perimeter, they don't have anybody that has the physical strength and size to match up with these guys. You look at Giannis, Luka, Ben Simmons, there's players all around the league who can kill you that way, and the Suns have shown, I think, through several examples now, that they don't have that right now. I think DeAndre Ayton will be an option, but that's not coming for 6 weeks or so, five weeks. So there, I think we'll see a lot more nights like this when they play teams with those types of players where you just have to maybe those guys are going to score, and what else can we do to stay in this game, because they just don't have an answer.
Yeah, I'm just going on Kelly Oubre's box scores for on Basketball Reference, just because I'm noticing a trend the last couple of games. But I want to know if you notice this too. 5 shots tonight in 19 minutes, of course, so it might be a little bit tricky there, but 11 shots, 10 shots, 9 shots, those are the 3 games prior to tonight. Do you think Kelly's kind of being a little less aggressive offensively, where he could be a little bit more?
Yeah, I wonder what I hadn't really realized it, but I think you're right. And what do you think the reason would be? Because I think if there's anything we know him to be, it's aggressive. And I don't think he should necessarily rein that in. I think the adjustment he made early this year, where he's still taking a lot of shots, was to just take smarter shots, to play within the flow of the offense, to take spot-up threes rather than pull-up threes, to cut better, to just attack the basket whenever possible. All those things were helping him, and so I don't think the answer was to take less shots. I wonder what you think the issue might be, or why he did that.
Yeah, I wonder if it's him just like, as far as you're buying into the team style of this team, I wonder if Kelly now thinks like, hey, I can't take 15, 16, 17 shots a game anymore, because I know we saw tonight Ricky takes 17, Aaron takes 10 now, Dario can take 10 when he's hot, Booker takes 15 to 20 almost every night. I feel like with how talented the starting unit is, and you have guys like Cam and Frank on some nights when they get hot from three, there's a lot of shots go around to this team. I feel like Kelly realizes, like, hey, I can't, like, take away some shots. I think he realizes, too, like, hey, I used to take some really bad shots back in the day.
Yeah.
And now I think that's starting to get his head a little bit. And it's a good way a little bit, but I think tonight kind of showed a bad way where he could have been more aggressive.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, I think there is a push and pull with a egalitarian offense like this where you might see Dario making reining in threes. You might see, I mean, Baines has been hot every night. Ricky has had it going the past few days. I wonder if part of it is seeing that and thinking, well, maybe me shooting isn't the right thing, but it is. He's one of the best players on this team. He presents a skill set that no one else has in the way that he can attack and finish at the basket and get out in transition and all that stuff. So that is a part of this team that they need and that helped them early in the year. So maybe it is just not your turn, my turn, but just feeling that confidence to still say, okay, well, Dario's made a couple, but I still should take this shot. I wonder if that's part of it. But let's hope Kelly has a better game. Atlanta doesn't really have that problem for him, so I could see him bouncing back against them. They actually are pretty thin on the wing. They start young guys. They have a lot of young guys there. So maybe that's his bounce back. Let's get into a couple numbers here to close out the show. There's a few on the Lakers side that I think are really interesting on both the negative and positive. But before we get into that, a reminder to subscribe to our show wherever you're finding us, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever it is. Hit that subscribe button. It's been a fun year. I think it'll continue to be a fun year. And we know you guys are excited. So if you want to stay up to date Monday through Friday with Locked On Suns, hit the subscribe button and support the show. So the one I want to start with number-wise here, I'll start on the positive side for the Lakers. Okay. We talked a lot about that 37-7 assist to turnover that the Suns just pulled off against Brooklyn. The Lakers went ahead and one-upped them and went ahead and did 39-9, which is about as good as you'll ever see. That's almost it's better than a 4-1 assist to turnover ratio by one team in one game. Not a team I think of as being this incredibly crisp ball movement team, and I think that's really a testament to the Suns not stepping up defensively in that aggressive playing the passing lane style we've come to see from them.
Yeah, it really was surprising to see that, because I think the Lakers, there's a good idea by Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, to really do what they did tonight as far as moving the ball around, making the Suns really gamble on a lot of possessions on defense. Because I know there's been a story about, I think, Mike Prida of SB Nation read it, where they have the nail defender on that as far as at the nail of the baseline there. And you see they were testing that out a lot tonight as far as Kuzma is shooting a lot of threes, LeBron was doing it himself, Danny Green. They're really testing out that how bend but don't break the Suns defense can be. And tonight kind of showed that when this defense kind of is a step or two slow, they can get beaten a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of what happened. I think, too, between Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, they were 11 of 14 from the field combined. When you're getting lobs up to those guys and putbacks and some of those easy buckets, those aren't the likelihood of turning the ball over in those types of possessions is low. So I think that was a lot of it. Those guys really killed the Suns. And the Suns, again, it's another type of player, another type of action they don't have an answer for until DeAndre gets back. Baines isn't going to jump up and knock the ball out of 7-1 JaVale McGee's hands. So I think that killed them a little bit too. But again, I mean, you can look at the positive or negative. It's bad that they weren't up to their usual turnover-creating kind of ways, but at the same time, they only lost by 8. So they sucked that badly in terms of creating those turnovers and letting the Lakers get those high-percentage plays, and they still were in the game.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And my stat to watch here is going to be about the differential between the points in the paint here, which is 70 for the Lakers to 46 for the Suns. If you add in the three-pointers as well for the Suns, they had 48 points from three. So the Lakers just dominated from the inside tonight. And like we mentioned, the Suns' athleticism and their lack of athleticism in the big man position really kind of hurt them tonight, because you saw an awful lot of lobs and transition to McGee, to Anthony Davis, LeBron as well. It just feels like this kind of matchup kind of not exposed them, so to say, but maybe it did, just as far as, like, if you're an athletic team with big men that can run the floor, you can kind of get your way a little bit inside against the Suns team.
Yeah, and I think you talked about the way they play defense with that early help of having that guy right around the free throw line. They also send a bunch once the guy is driving. It's actually, I mean, it's just super impressive the way that they're able to do it. But LeBron is a guy who's going to pick that apart. He's going to see the help before it comes. He's going to see the help from 8 minutes ago and know it's going to come again. We know how much of a genius he is as far as remembering that stuff and being able to adjust for it. And I think in the fourth quarter, that was a difference. He was just feeding guys who were open because he knew they would be. So I think he's a unique guy that poses those issues. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Monty was, that was the, his biggest thing, and he was harping on was the points in the paint. And he mentioned too, just how easy it was for them to create from the elbow, just kind of in isolation or with a, an easy two-man game with AD, LeBron, even Avery Bradley in there. So I think that some of those things you can do a little bit better on. Like, you're not going to let Bradley do that every night. But the other one I wanted to mention really quick is the free throws. The Lakers were only 11 of 21 from the line and still won. That's pretty crazy. LeBron only 2 of 7, which you noticed about after he went 1 of 2 in a decisive moment. Again, like, there's the positives and the negatives. It's just kind of a weird one.
Yeah, the ebbs and flows of this game were really different compared to what we've seen so far this year for the Suns. But I think another one real quick I just want to note, just as far as stats go, LeBron had his own Ricky Rubio type of game, 11 assists and 1 turnover. So he definitely was feeding his guys, and the Suns
yeah,
really
Bradley helped. 5-0 too, wow, which is okay. Not the type of guy you would normally expect to have that type of a night.
No, yeah, 39 total assists for the Lakers to 9 turnovers. So again, one of those nights where it was kind of Phoenix Suns-esque, and that's crazy. I'm even saying nowadays because Phoenix Suns have kind of proven they're a ball movement team at this point. The Lakers kind of being at their own game tonight. But anything else you want to cover, Brent, on tonight's recap?
Is Kyle Kuzma a top 10 player now?
Oh, my.
Untradeable?
Yeah. But there was a lot of – when he checked into the game, there was a lot of Lakers fans here. And
I think they like him more than anyone on the team.
It seems that way because his cheers are thunderous, yeah.
Yeah, anytime he did anything, including just checking into the game, it's just the low coos, the buzz of that filled the arena, which kind of frustrating how many more chance for the Lakers there were than the Suns, but that's the way it is being so close to LA. But no, I don't think Kyle Kuzma is, I don't think he's a top 10 player, but he killed them tonight, made those two threes late in the game, and he was the deciding factor. If he can do that every night, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, they're going to be a top team in the West for sure. But before we close, I'm glad you brought that up just because I wanted to hit on that real quick. Just the atmosphere tonight, I thought it was really fun. It's probably 60-40 Lakers fans, I'd say. It was probably more Lakers fans, but overall, I think the atmosphere is really fun, and hopefully it's this way the rest of the season. Even though it is the Lakers team, they bring a lot of opposing fans into your building. I think just the atmosphere the last couple of games has kind of proven if the Suns team can be good throughout the year, this could be a fun arena.
Yeah, and a sellout for the first time tonight, which is a testament to somewhat the Lakers. But even so, I think, like you said, it's been building, and I hope that it continues to. I'm sure there's some cheap tickets for the Hawks because the Hawks do not bring fans in. So come see them. I think they can win that game and then Boston next week. So come get in on this. It has been really cool to just see an arena that is responding to the game and isn't just there to kind of eat popcorn and hang out.
Once again, the final score for you guys, 123-115. The Los Angeles Lakers defeated the Phoenix Suns. The Suns through their first 10 games this season are 6-4 in the season. So Brent and I are definitely going to cover that throughout the week here and throughout the season on Locked On Suns, how the Suns continue to improve. But until then, guys, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow for next episode.